This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 438 and three quarters, down 2 1/4. September corn, 434, down 2 3/4. December corn, 439 and a half, down 2 1/2. July soybeans, 1398 and a quarter, down 23 1/2. August soybeans, 1348 and a half, down 18 3/4. September soybeans, 1244, down 11 3/4. July wheat, 581 and 3/4, up 3/4. September wheat, 590 and 3/4, down 1/2. December wheat, 612, up 3/4. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is Tuesday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mostly lower late Tuesday afternoon. Corn and soybeans are suffering the consequences of a good start for the 2014 growing year. Without any fresh news, wheat traded steady. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted Shell corn 2 cents lower at 414 to 444. Soybeans are down 20 to 21 cents at 1375 to 1402. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted Shell mostly 2 cents lower at 419 to 443. Soybeans are down 19 to 20 cents at 1397 to 1418. In the southern part of the state, elevators and mills reported Shell corn mostly 2 cents lower at 432 to 452. Soybeans are down mostly 22 cents at 1392 to 1424. Wheat was unchanged to 9 cents lower at 552 to 565. Illinois soybean processor cash bids were down 19 to 23 cents at 1407 to 1439. Basis levels were unchanged to 4 cents lower at 58 to 90 cents over the August. High protein soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $465.70 to $491.70 per ton. That's down $11.70 to $16.70. Basis levels were unchanged at $15 to $41 over the July. Illinois corn processor cash bids were down 2 cents at $442 to $457. Basis levels were unchanged at $3 to $18 over the July. Illinois River barge loading elevators placed their producer corn market mixed at 446 to 455, with the basis levels unchanged to up 5 cents at 7 to 16 cents over the July option. Soybeans closed 2 cents, soybeans were down 23 to 24 cents at 1404 to 1408, with the basis levels unchanged to a penny stronger at 6 to 10 cents over the July. New crop wheat closed 1 cent stronger at 562 to 567. With basis levels unchanged at 15 to 20 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn market steady to 4 cents lower at 469 to 472. These elevators lowered their soybean bids 24 to 27 cents at 1424 to 1427. Soft wheat closed a penny stronger at 589 to 590. Milo is down 2 cents at 452 to 464. Contract bids to producers for new crop grain in northern and western Illinois, fall delivery Shell corn contracts were offered at 402 to 415. Fall delivery soybean contracts were offered producers in a range of 1172 to 1197. In central Illinois, fall delivery Shell corn contracts were offered at 408 to 420. Fall delivery soybean contracts range from 1180 to 1192. In the southern part of the state, fall delivery Shell corn contracts were quoted at 405 up to 420. Fall delivery soybean contracts range from 1187 up to $12, and June-July delivery wheat contracts range from 552 to 565. That concludes Tuesday's closing grain summary.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 146.50, down 95 cents. August live cattle, 145.72, down 72 cents. October live cattle, 148.75, down $1.02. August feeder cattle, 207.85, down 85 cents. September feeder cattle, 208.57, down 92 cents. October feeder cattle, 208.70, down 87 cents. July lean hogs, 124.92, up 67 cents. August lean hogs, 128.05, down 22 cents. October lean hogs, 108.40, down $1.20. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is David Humphreys, the Illinois Department of Agriculture, with Tuesday's 17th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.91 higher in a range of 108 to 119 with a weighted average carcass price of $117.76. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading steady. Moderate demand for moderate to light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 66 to 69. 4 to 5 weight at 70 to 74. And 500 to 600 pounds at 73 to 78. And over 600 pounds at 75 to 80. From the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points are trading steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $79 to $85. Receipts for Illinois hogs today have totaled 18,191. United Producers Livestock Auction Opening Report for Tuesday, June 7th, had estimated receipts of 402. Steers and heifers were $1 to $1.50 higher, and Holstein steers are steady. Slaughter steers choice at $147.75 to $153.25. Slaughter Holstein steers choice at $135.50 to $142.25, and slaughter heifers choice at $147.50 to $153.50. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 319 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $123.96, which was 62 cents higher. In the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $236.80, which was $2.56 higher. Select carcasses at $229.27, which was $3.16 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 117,000, compared to 117,000 for last week and 122,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 380,000 compared to 410,000 last week and 392,000 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys of the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. June corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.47. July corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.49. June corn delivered to Scottville, $4.38. July corn delivered to Scottville, $4.40. June beans delivered to Greenfield, $13.98. July beans delivered to Greenfield, $13.96. June beans delivered to Scottville, $13.87. July beans delivered to Scottville, $13.85. June wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.54. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $4.47, corn at Scottville is $4.38, beans at Greenfield are $13.98, beans at Scottville are $13.87, and wheat at Scottville is $5.54. Senate Ag Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow applauds USDA for its continued commitment to combating the spread of PEDV, which has impacted pork producers across the country. USDA has moved forward with a new vaccine that is expected to combat PEDV and has issued a conditional license for the vaccine. Stabenow says the unmitigated spread of the virus not only threatens the agricultural economy, but also has serious implications for the national economy, as consumers and businesses will all feel the impact of diminishing swine herds. She says the pork industry supports nearly 550,000 jobs across the U.S. and contributes $34.5 billion to the U.S. economy. USDA's efforts to help control the spread of the virus will go a long way in stabilizing the potential fallout for consumers and businesses, according to Stabenow. Bovine respiratory disease, known as BRD, is the leading cause of death in beef calves 3 weeks of age or older. A recent multi-university survey of 61 veterinarians in 6 states provides insights into practitioners' experiences with BRD in nursing calves. Dr. Terry Engelken, an associate professor at Iowa State University College of Veterinary Medicine, was involved with the survey and says a key risk factor identified was inadequate colostrum.
Anything that interferes with the calf standing up rapidly and nursing aggressively can have a negative impact on the amount of colostrum it receives and how well that colostrum is absorbed. We know from extensive research and practical experience as well that calves that don't receive enough colostrum run a higher risk of developing calf scours early in life, and then that can be followed by BRD while they're out on pasture.
More than 85% of the veterinarians who responded to the survey recommended vaccination of nursing calves to prevent BRD or to shorten the duration of outbreaks. Merck Animal Health Beef Cattle Technical Services Manager Brent Meyer says new technology is available to meet this need.
Merck Animal Health recently introduced OnceTMHIN. It is the only intranasal vaccine to deliver dual bacterial pneumonia protection in healthy beef and dairy cattle. Intranasal administration is easy to use and easy on calves. It can be given to calves as young as 1 week of age.
Engelken emphasizes that prevention is often much more cost-effective than treatment. He says the losses associated with BRD in nursing calves include both the obvious and those who are not so apparent.
Medical expenses, labor costs, and death loss are really pretty straightforward and easy to calculate. What's more difficult is to be able to track weaning weight losses in individual calves after they recover from a bout of BRD during the suckling phase. There is research that indicates that calves that get sick for any reason during the suckling period will weigh from 20 to 35 pounds less at weaning compared to their herd mates that didn't get sick.
Associate Professor at Iowa State University College of Veterinary Medicine, Terry Engelken. For a look at how the grain markets are doing this week, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, the grain markets are mostly reacting to very favorable weather conditions. Now, I know as soon as I say that, there are going to be some who are going to point out some areas that have excessive rain and storm damage from some of the storms. But what the trade is reacting to is the national crop ratings. And the national crop ratings for corn and soybeans are very high right now for this time of year. In fact, the soybean ratings are the highest on record as far as USDA has kept ratings going back to 1986 for this week of the year, and its corn ratings are among the highest for this time of year. And so the trade is reacting to that, and present prices lower generally, trying to stimulate demand in order to consume these larger crops.
And from what I understand, the monthly report that was released last month, it didn't have too much of an effect because most everything was expected?
To a great extent, that's true. In fact, the USDA monthly crop report was one of the most mundane that I've seen in all the years that I've worked in the market as far as lack of surprises and just following along expectations. However, crop reports aren't traded the way they used to be traded. It used to be traded that if you had a mundane report, then the reaction was very mundane. But we live in an era where high-frequency traders are the first to react to the reports. These are computers reading the lines of data that come out of the reports. And if four is smaller than five, then the computer reacts to that. And we had more numbers that the computers corresponded or reacted to as being bearish than bullish. And so after all the volatility was done in the first seconds after the crop report's release, we had done chart damage to the downside. And so therefore the human traders went ahead and sold these bearish chart signals. And we actually had a quite bearish reaction to a pretty neutral crop report.
It's funny how things work. As things get more automated, the system works a bit differently.
Yeah, it really does, and that creates a lot of frustration for both farmers and for end users, but it is the system that we have. It's not likely to change anytime soon, and so we have to do is figure out a way to make that work for us, and there's significant downside risk in this market yet to this day. We are seeing forecasters now say that the El Nino is going to be much slower to evolve and develop this summer than what was previously thought. And we'll probably see more reaction or impact on the winter weather pattern than the summer winter pattern. Now, that has a couple implications. First of all, it means that we're probably not going to see as great of a drought impact in Australia as what we'd been anticipating on its wheat crop. Second of all, we're not going to have the driving force behind the U.S. weather pattern that we anticipated. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be adverse. It just means we won't have that driving pattern pushing it in a certain direction, which with El Niños tends to be very favorable. Now, we're in a very favorable weather pattern now, and it could stay favorable throughout the growing season. But we don't have the strong El Niño pattern to keep it favorable. So that does open the door a little bit for the potential for adverse weather later on in the growing season, but it doesn't determine that that's what we're going to have.
Well, at least corn and soybeans have had good weather to get off to a nice start.
Yeah, absolutely. And we certainly, from a production side, don't like to see the low prices, but I think most farmers would say they would like to have the bushels. And usually you have a choice between bushels or prices, and they would rather have the higher number of bushels that they can have create some opportunities with. If you don't have the bushels, then you can't sell them.
Right. If there's no bushels to sell, then it really doesn't matter if the prices are high.
And which is what winter wheat farmers in the plains are finding out this year. Harvest is starting to pick up once again, starting to get some momentum as the rains have quit in what was previously a drought-stricken area. And thus far, we're seeing yields mostly in the averaging now in the upper teens. It's come up a little bit. A lot of problems with the harvest since it's a very short crop and weeds are coming up it through that crop right now. Quality has been very good as far as protein and test weights to this point, but very frustrating to get out of the field and very disappointing yields.
It sounds like the rains quit just in time for them, though.
Yeah, and they're working fast now to try to get it cut because the latest forecast suggests that in the 6 to 15-day period, it's going to turn very wet once again. And if that happens, that could bring that flush of weeds up to the point where it make it very difficult, maybe not cost-effective, to harvest the low-yielding crop that's left there. And so we might see a lot higher abandonment from what doesn't get harvested before those rains arrive.
And there are some farmers around here who have their wheat acres that are slowly but surely getting ready to harvest, and they're starting to get concerned over the rains we're having, hoping it dries up in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, we're also seeing that rain pattern that's in the northwestern Midwest now and creating some tremendous storms up there. A lot of news covering the tornadoes and hailstorms and high winds that have done damage in the northwestern Midwest thus far this week. That rain system is expected to drift to the south and the east and really create some delays for the harvest in the southern Midwest. And the Delta in the coming days, and then particularly in the Delta as we go into next week.
So some frustrating news for those who are trying to get a wheat harvest organized, but still good news for those who are growing corn and soybeans.
As the trade is saying, as we look at the markets, rain makes grain. It certainly does better when there's a lack of rain.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. Ticket quotas may be a thing of the past now that legislation has been moved against them. President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer, goes over some changes we're seeing on the roadways.
Matter of fact, on Sunday, Governor Quinn signed the legislation, which, for the most part, in the simplest terms, said police are not required or police should not be required to have ticket quotas. Everyone always thinks that, they say, well, the police have quotas, so at the end of the month, they're writing more tickets to meet your quota. This legislation says that ticket quotas will not be required of police officers, and that ticket quotas won't be used as a barometer for evaluating the effectiveness of a police officer. The bill, matter of fact, it pretty much split down the middle between the law enforcement community. A lot of them say, A, we've never had a quota, or B, we don't think quotas are an effective way of evaluating a cop if he's a good or bad cop. So this bill basically says no ticket quotas. Obviously, the motorists will be happy, but doesn't mean that they won't be writing tickets anyway. We know they will be, and the safety is the number one important thing anyway in the highways.
And speaking of safety, you said that the Illinois highway deaths are down right now.
The number of fatalities on Illinois highways is down significantly for the first 6 months of this year, which, does it mean because of the bad weather people weren't driving? Does it mean maybe the economy wasn't good so people couldn't afford fuel? I mean, we don't know. But, in fact, the number of deaths on Illinois highways has dropped significantly in the last year. Hopefully it means that it just proves the effectiveness of a lot of the safety campaigns that are going on. Safety campaigns, number one, texting and driving, which continues to be probably the number one issue out there. Distracted driving because of texting, number two, drunk driving. Drunk driving continues to more highway deaths than just about anything else. Seatbelt use. Seatbelt use is, we're up, I think, over almost at 90% of the Illinois driving population is using their seatbelt, which is a significant increase of what it was, say, 10 years ago. A lot of safety enforcement of the speed limit, especially on the interstate highway. Sure, you can go faster, but they're adhering more to a stricter enforcement of the speed limit on the highways. So you throw all those things together, maybe people are just getting a little bit smarter, that they know enforcement's out there, and that, getting a ticket for $150 isn't worth it if it means, it means it goes against your record, number one, and number two, it comes out of your pocketbook.
Those tickets are getting really expensive.
They are, and I mean, especially, the big thing, if you're a truck driver, you start racking up those tickets, and you could lose your commercial driver's license. And depending on the severity of the ticket, what kind of ticket it is, they could rack up real quick, and if you don't have a CDL, you don't have your livelihood, and so that's the lifeblood of a trucker.
Again, that was President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besch. Thanks for tuning in.